All right, welcome to Dreadlords, the Red Writ. Every Wednesday, Monday, whatever the fuck day it is, Bill Buncombe, Andrea, Daniel Drizzle, and Ken get together with all lower case letters and Mr. Interrupt to score it, and the Patreon folks, Tim, Daniel, Holker, and Nostalgic, along with Couchfire Media and Hua Replay Productions.
Whoever the fuck they are.
Whoever they are, produce this show that is on the internet called The Red Writ.
The Red Writ.
Good morning. I mean, good evening. I don't know what's
backwards, man.
I'm embracing the Nord.
Good.
Just doing it all.
Yeah, I'm feeling that color.
Oh, we're live, I think.
Yeah, good.
Presume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that everybody? That's everything? Yeah. Hey, let's introduce ourselves. We'll start with Drizzle.
I'm Drizzle. I play Simon Vincent, the hard-boiled detective who is about to get a little reckless.
He's not soft-boiled.
Nope.
He's hard-boiled.
Exactly.
I was just in a conversation about what that means.
There's no creamy center here.
Mm-mm. He's got a chalky, nice center. You put that egg in when the water's cold, right? You boil that bitch all the way, right? You let it set, cooks on the inside. Just learn that. Yeah. That's what happened to Simon Vincent.
Yeah.
Andrea.
Hi, I'm Andrea. I play Leah Mizrahi, who is a former IDF soldier and, why can't I remember her name? Mossad, yeah, Mossad agent, who moved to, where are we again?
Detroit.
Detroit, yeah, that place. That place up along the, the Canadian border that she thought would be safer, but was apparently not right at all. So, her daughter's her daughter's gonna be a sacrifice. Cool.
Who is her daughter?
Her daughter is Mariah Mizrahi, who is a really traumatized 12-year-old now. But it's fine. She's making enough. She's making decent money, so she can afford really good therapy later in life. So it's okay.
Yeah.
if we live through this, that is.
We won't. Everybody dies. I play a character. I get third billing now. Fourth billing this. No, fourth.
You're third.
I'm still under an NPC. I play a character called Nord Zetterberg. I guess I would have fifth if Tony was here. We would call him very much a Nordicist, as we came up with. He's full of himself. He's a journalist, as all journalists are always full of themselves. They put themselves into the writing, and they write whatever they want. Things happen in the news, but really it's more about the journalist than the actual story. So Nord follows that and his travels around the world writing about superstition and the occult.
What was the name of the newspaper that he writes for?
The Fortean Inquirer. I don't know the rest of it. It's like the Fortean Inquirer,
it's really long.
Scientific oddities.
Yeah, and I think he's only gotten paid half.
Yeah.
For his last
he's
story,
about, he's about out of money, so he's pretty much fully broke at this point.
Well, he did tip the film developer a lot of money.
He did. He dropped a lot of cash
and got nothing out of it, really. So.
Yeah.
You got tons of stuff. You just got to ask the right questions, Mr. Reporter.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you got to dig deep. Dig deep.
I feel like I was digging too deep, and the arbiter didn't want to be there. In the photo,
go listen to that
photo.
the two-hour photo booth. We spent 2 hours in the 2 hour photo. Nord, what do you do? I go to McDonald's first.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bid. Give me those fries. I'm gonna ask the McDonald's guy. Have you seen this motherfucker? You know, it's cool.
Nord would never go to McDonald's.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. I feel like Nord works for Greenpeace. I'm pretty sure Nord would go in like a cucumber outfit and like upturn people's trays.
You eating that
frosted. Eat a cucumber.
Fatty.
Despite what this podcast seems like it's about, we are actually going to game. I figure since it's so close to 7:30 anyway, we should probably just wait on Holker to really, really start. Because, you know, why not? But that could give me a good chance to thank the Patreon people again. Tim Roberts.
Was that too fast before?
Oh, no, I can just do it again. Thank you, Tim Roberts. Thank you, Nostalgic. Thank you, Daniel Holker, whenever you decide to arrive. Yeah.
What was that one? I didn't even know what the heck just happened.
Yeah, he's got a lot of cool ones on this one. Yeah.
I didn't even see anything. Like, I didn't even...
It's pretty cool.
That one's particularly glitchy.
This one isn't one for some reason. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's the reason we got a copyright thing the other time. Or no, it wasn't a copyright thing.
Oh, no, it was because I was wearing a shirt that said fuck on it.
Oh, right. Which, come on, whatever. Yeah, so a little bit about the game. We're playing Dread Lore, which is a tabletop role-playing game system. If you want to find out anything about that, go to dreadlore.com. That is Dread, LORE.com. There's a digital book, core book, which is free. There's a getting started guide, which is free. Some module stuff, which is free. Character sheets, all that good stuff. It's on Drive-Thru RPG. You can get it from the website and get it from Lulu Press. There's also a hardback book if you want to buy it. It's about $60. $60, and it is sexy, this book. You'll see in this book a few people you might recognize in the artwork. For example, Andrea and Drizzle.
What?
Play many
I'm
characters.
In a book?
You're in a book. You're all over a book.
Book it up.
Book it up. Yeah, so we're playing Dreadlord now. We're going to play the Red Writ. Sometimes we take a pause from the Red Writ. And instead play our near future campaign. Should I call it near future? Doesn't really seem to be.
It's pretty far away. I feel like it's going to take us a minute to get to that point.
Yeah.
I feel like you're being really optimistic.
It's going to take at least a couple cryo sleeps.
called Into Space, which sounds like, the more I say it, the most generic title. But I like it. I still like it. Into Space.
Just like the Geeky Gamer podcast is actually amazingly not generic at all.
I mean, it works. But the funny thing about that... Shut the fuck up. The funny thing about that is we were just actually saying... like people be like, what is on the podcast? Well, it's a Geeky Gamer podcast. And it just became the name. And I think it works. It kind of tells people what's going on. All right, so we're going to stop waiting, stalling, because I don't think Holker's going to arrive yet. All right.
What happened last game, Arbiter Bill?
We talked about this right before the stream, so I'm going to lay it upon you all. What happened last game? We'll start with Drizzle.
I drove from the... From the bar to the close to the marina, and we stopped for a minute while something blew up, and then I drove a little bit farther and got a little bit closer, and that's a lot of what I did.
I forgot to mention, you dropped off a singer.
Yes, we did drop off Levi. I found a head in a glove compartment and made sure Mariah didn't look at it.
Yep, there was a head. Andrea, what else happened?
Leah found a few bodies, a whole one, and then a couple more that were not whole, or at least, you know, not all together. Or did she? Maybe she made them. I don't know. I mean, no, she didn't make them. She found them. They were there. Who knows what they put them in, like what they're going to do with them exactly. And then there was a locked box that probably should have stayed locked, but did not stay locked. And, you know, inside was it like a stone or it was just something that was very, very cold. And you probably shouldn't touch it if you want
there
to keep all your limbs.
There were several blue, almost like little gel packs that were in there.
Okay, yeah. I remember now. But yes, you should probably not touch those if you want to, you know, remain unfrozen. That's pretty good.
In the center of that locked box was, it almost looked like a, I said that Leah kind of could figure out that it looks like a bomb. It looks like a timer with some tubes and brass fixtures on it. It is a theragic device. Go on.
But on the bright side of the frozen gel pack thingies, we might be able to use them to freeze the river if we need to. Hopefully we don't. That would be the best case scenario, is we're able to get over on a boat. But given that the intact body I found came back to life, life, quote unquote, that may not be the plan anymore. We'll find out what happens in this game.
There are 35 of those packets.
Ooh.
Ken?
Nord found a happy place and a little ball of cold. He like there was a flash and like everything went really dark and he curled up into a ball. Just kind of on a whim. He felt like everybody, all his teammates were busy doing a thing, and it all seemed like a bad idea, so he just curled up into a ball and wound up having a couple of inches of ice. Just lock him, trap him in, like in those cartoons where we get trapped in ice suddenly.
Although you're the only one that actually didn't take damage from that.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure.
You might have
gone to limbo.
It was limbo. It was a yes, but and the reason I didn't is that I have a stifling vest that has attributes on it.
Yeah, so it kept me warm. That was a really good use of the flaw on that vest.
Yeah,
that was
cool. So I stayed warm. My core felt good. And then we kind of worked together. Nord realized that you know we were all gonna die if we didn't do something, and then Leah came up with a really brilliant idea of sticking a potato in it.
Because she had shot the box and there was a hole.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, the hole.
She took a potato.
It was the whole thing.
Hey, it worked.
And plugged the hole with a potato. It definitely worked.
Although, and thinking about it harder, it is a little concerning that whatever that thingy is needs to be kept that cold.
Well, it's an air thing. It's a you know, when certain metals react to air, or you know, things happen, and it's one of those chemical reaction.
Like the opposite of the hand warmers.
Yeah, just like the opposite of a hand warmer. Well, it's just the air. I think there are a number of different. I'm no chemist, but I vaguely remember that when you put objects into our atmosphere, some of them react severely.
Well, but
Mentos in a Coca-Cola bottle.
Well, yeah, But the cold box wouldn't keep the air out unless it was like hermetically sealed, which I don't think
it was. Hermetically sealed.
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
It was hermetically sealed, in other words, fly.
Well, then, in that case, then the box being closed and the hole being plugged isn't going to help anything, but we'll see what happens.
Yep. Okay, so that's basically it. We finished with you guys in this cul-de-sac up against the river, this Detroit River. Across the way, you can see the shadow of Belle Island. To your right, about a football field along the bank, you see the abandoned lighthouse, which is on. To your left, which was the direction you were facing, about 100 feet is the abandoned marina, which is not abandoned. There's people inside. There's all these cars out front, this way and that, several of which you recognize as being the Acolyte's cars. Very, very expensive cars you saw in Grosse Pointe. You're in this box truck. Simon's in it, in the driver's seat. The rest of you are pretty much outside, except for Nord and Tony, who are trying to get the lethargic box out of the back. A massive storm is starting, or has started. There's rain that's turned into snow, that's turned into sleet. It's getting colder, with a wind chill 20 degrees, 25 degrees. A good 6 inches of sleet is on the ground already. And it's just starting to come down. Off on Lake St. Clair, out in front of you, you see this gnarly black storm imminent to come in. Tony, I believe, estimated within 10 minutes to 30 minutes is about the time that it'll probably hit. Kind of hard to know. There are boats going to and fro between the marina and Belle Island. You see specifically, we'll say, one out there, the gas-powered boat. So they are making the trip. And the plan thus far is everyone, save for Simon, is going to go toward the river and to the left, to the front of the marina, and look for some sort of side entrance. Meanwhile, Simon is going to take the box truck and somehow run it, perhaps into the marina, crash it in through the cars. Who knows? That's going to be on him. That's kind of the plan. Couple things. I can't remember at last game if I actually mentioned this or not. So we'll just say, does anyone want to bid or throw down to notice something before Nord gets attacked?
In this the back of the truck, or
anyone. This box truck has mirrors. Perfectly fine.
Considering I'm getting attacked, I would like to throw down.
Well, hold on. We're not to you yet. I'm talking about before you get attacked.
Okay.
Does anyone want to bid or throw down to notice something?
I'll throw down to notice something.
All right, go ahead and throw down your wits and your action die. You're looking for one success.
Okay.
To
one
have a clean success.
Success. I got 3 successes.
Nice. That gives you a narrative point.
I have so many narrative points, I usually use them.
Well, you know, you can only have 5.
Wait, so what do you do with excess narrative points?
They're lost. So you have to spend them.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the whole reason that there's a cap on them.
Okay.
How many do you have?
13.
You have 13? Yeah, this is the reason that game system time, this is the reason there's a limit, because players hoard resources.
I'm not really even hoarding. See, the thing is, I'm not even really hoarding them. I just don't know what to do with them, you know? So I just kind of have left.
So that's what happens. You gotta, and then what'll happen is people will be like, oh, can I convert them? No, you can't convert them. So what we need to do with those 13, because, you know, they are banked, we'll say for those 13, you will get 2 XP. So you can drop down to 6. You should spend 1 now. That way you're at 5, and you just get 2 extra XP. That is not a rule. It is a fiat, which I will not honor.
Because I knew. Well, because I mean, obviously, it's on the sheet. I knew you could only have 5 pips. I didn't think about narrative points, so I kind of just let them, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. Yeah, I got another point.
It's cool because that's go on.
Because Leah, or because Andrea looks like a cat, would it be a cat fiat?
Yes, I like that.
I hate you. I'm not going to reward you for that. No, you get a narrative point. Fine, Ken, in your jokes.
Well, a certain sponsor has not here yet. So,
yeah. So, Leah, what you happen to notice as you're standing outside the box truck, you're a little bit on a rise, and you can see to your left, back down the road, the long road, dark with the snow and just a few street lights. It's incredibly dark because, you know, you're on that side of town that doesn't have a lot of, it's not a residential part of town at all. It's near the docks. The darkness, of course, for a few miles until you get to the main street. To your right, you can see the marina. As you're kind of turned around at this point with your back, we'll say, to the box truck, Mariah's next to you. And just through the trees, you can see Grosse Point on a hill where the Bald Hill Cemetery is, where Annabelle Butte's house is. And you notice firelight reflecting off the trees, and the house, you can just see the edge of it, is lit up like a Christmas tree with lights. As you realize, despite all of the city, or almost all of the city, having gone dark 10, 15 minutes ago. That's something we didn't mention. Because there's a big clap of thunder and everything went dark. Grosse Point, specifically Annabelle Butte's house, still has electricity, maybe a generator. And Bald Hill, something is happening on top of it. You do have a narrative point. Do you want to spend it? If you don't, it is gone forever.
I will spend it by saying that you said there's a fire?
Yeah, on Bald Hill.
Can I use this narrative point to say that maybe the fire is getting a little bit more unruly than whoever said it is expecting, and maybe some embers are starting to land on top of the house?
I'm writing that down. Yeah. You can't tell, but Leah, as you're sitting there thinking, perhaps, how fun it would be if their house lit on fire. Maybe even hoping. You note there are some cinders that are coming up from where the trees are on Bald Hill. And it does look like a roaring fire, like a massive bonfire. And maybe you'll even see like a big flash, like woof. An image in your mind of that one guy who always is like, put gasoline on it, woo! And through like the entire like tank. And then maybe there's a cutscene where you see people running around. Yes, a frustrated effort has occurred as Holger appears. See, if you say his name 3 times, then he will appear. Hi, Holger.
Hi.
Introduce yourself, please.
Are we still on introductions?
No, we're actually just starting.
My name's Daniel, and I play a character. His name's Tony, and he is a former priest, aspiring priest, and now is a border guard.
I gave we all gave the recap a little bit. The point is, you're in the back with the back of the box truck with Nord, helping him with this theurgic box pulling it out. It won't budge when something happens. Who is our sponsor tonight, Holger?
Our sponsor tonight is meat. Yeah. So meat is like, it's a food group, and it's on animals. It's found on most of them, and you can eat it sometimes. It's got four letters, M, E, A, and T. And that's, it's, I mean, some people eat it. It's like when you, it's on sandwiches.
Thanks, meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was confused if it wasn't about, like, if it wasn't, like, a website about dating, meet cute, meet up.
No. It's a meet. It's a website where you meet up. And,
until we spelled it. And then...
It's not a website. It's a protein-rich food that is originated on the bones of animals that died so you could eat them.
I love meat. All right. Leah, you see that. Nord, something grabs your ankle. Something cold and resolute. A chill runs from your leg up your spine. Freezes your butthole a little bit. What are you doing?
I'm going to kick it off.
All right. So the world action has happened. The antagonist action is about to happen. You have this reaction.
Yes, I spin cunning.
All right. Do it.
Because that stuff is no joke. So I would like to... is the world action? It's happened. I see this... arm kind of shoot out of nowhere from this. Is it the body?
Yeah.
It's a dissected body?
It's just No. It's just a dead woman who's naked.
Oh, it is.
And I think Leah, you'd taken her out of the bag, hadn't you?
Well, she assembled a gun.
She was assembling a gun, yeah.
Well, in the process of, I mean, mm-hmm. I presume that she's like super good at that stuff.
Yeah, and she realized it was a Browning. Although there's no ammo that you found.
Yeah, that sucks. True.
Ammo.
My deuce for the win.
Blammo. So I'm gonna kick that ever loving crap out of that. I'll probably pull out my little little flame stick.
You have a drawer. Flame stick?
That's not true. I don't have that.
What are you talking about?
My dirty dirk.
Oh, you pull out a dirk. As you pull out this medieval weapon.
And like stab it.
Tony, you see Nord. It's like he just sees a spider on his leg. And he's like, wah! Pulls out his long knife and starts stabbing down. You can't quite see what he was stabbing, because the box is in the way. As he drops the box, obviously it clunk, bangs on the box car. Simon and Leah, you hear this, you know, the rattle of the box hitting the box car, and you know, in the back of those things, it resounds. Yeah, what do you bid to do this, Nord?
I will bid one of my newer traits. Pointy end goes there.
Yep. The pointy end goes there.
Which is, you know, he's been using this dirk a little bit on a couple of things, so he should have a trait of sticking a thing.
And so in people. It's not the first time he stuck someone with his dirk.
It's true. So that's what he does. Pointy end goes there.
As you stab straight down, she's just lying next to you, and she's actually on her back, reaching up. It's not an advantageous position to be doing this whatsoever. You easily stab into this corpse. Roll thy damage.
Okay. Oh, so I didn't. It wasn't a hard hit. It was a. Well, should I roll to hit?
I'll have you do it in a second.
Okay, roll damage.
Yep.
Which the Jerky Jerk is 1d4. My least favorite dies. Because you know,
Bill Allen's game system only uses d4s.
I know. We're going to say that's a 3.
3 successes?
No.
Oh, no, 3. 3. Awesome.
3 damage.
Second, what is your name? She has a name. For now. As you stab down for 3 damage, go ahead and roll your action die and your brawn or grace, whichever one you want, and tell me the successes on that. Of course, if they're ones, tell me that too.
I will. That is 2 successes.
Okay, you can do your normal stuff to increase that if you wish. If you want to gain more successes, that's just extra damage.
No, I mean, it's, I'm sure this, I'm kind of second guessing because Nord didn't study this body, nor just thought this was a dead person. Is this clearly a dead person? Maybe this is a live person and he's feeling kind of some remorse.
You got no idea.
Stabbing. A person.
The hand, as you look down, this cold hand is wrapped around your ankle.
Oh, so it's like ice.
And cold. she's laying
okay.
there dead.
So, yeah, no.
Her eyes are open and like cocked and looking at you.
Can I use bid the dirk for an extra dice?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The dirk. And the dirgy dirk has.
Gesundheit.
The Jerky Dirk has, it looks like it's got 3 aspects to it. It's runic, it's concealed, and it is a barbecue.
That's a good one. So D6, D8, D10. That's what you get.
D10.
A D10.
Right. That is nothing. I'm going to use Skullduggery. Aspect to increase
sure.
my success in that.
You mean proficiency, yes.
Because, yes, proficiency. That is 2 additional successes. So that's 4 successes.
4 on top because, of the 2 damage you already did? Yep.
Yeah.
Absolument.
Because that was scary. The scary thing.
Excuse me while I mukbang the hell out of this.
And I'm going to use the barbecue part aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Because the cuneiform corpse looks very cold, so we need to heat it up. Maybe
right.
that'll help.
This was Grimwald's Dirty Dirk. It has cuneiform runes inscribed on it.
You're going to heat it up?
All right.
Yep.
As you stab her, roll a d6.
Oh no.
As the runes light up.
That's a 5.
There is the smell of roasting flesh as this light emanates from the dirk. Tony and Leah, you see light. Ghostly and yellow with this what did we use before? What was the color? I think it was yellow and blue. Erupt from outside or from within this box truck. As Nord, you're sitting there holding on to the dirk, you feel the heat and the char flesh you see in this corpse as the eyes turn black. Her face starts to contort as you see her starting to leap up, writhing in pain as you're stabbing her like directly in the chest, and she starts to grab at your arm. Is anyone else spinning cunning?
I will. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else?
Is everything okay back there?
No. There's a dead girl coming back to life. It kind of reminds me of a certain Marcus? Not Marcus. Well, not Marcus. What's his name? Leah's friend.
Boyce.
Boyce. That's it.
So wait, you got another one on you? That's just what we need. Another
Cloyce. Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's Cloyce-tacular.
I can hear the horror. Hey
Simon, I think we should go in there and kill it.
It's Cloyce-tacular.
I hear the horror. Hey, it's another one, guys. Okay.
Sorry.
Starting it out well.
Trying to be a little more afraid.
Right.
I see dead people. I see dead people.
Yeah, Leah, you're the one who spent cunning. The last time I'm going to ask, anyone else spending cunning? Then you can't. Okay, Leah, go.
Is this thing on its back or its stomach? Or?
Oh, you can't see it.
Oh, okay. Wait, you're where am I?
Outside the box truck. You're outside the box truck?
I am?
Yep.
Okay. I forget exactly where I left off, but... So yeah, Leah will hear... Nord struggling, so she will go back into the truck.
You are right next to Tony.
How far? We didn't get that far away, did we?
Hmm?
We didn't get that far away, did we?
So I'm eating quinoa. So the situation, there's a box truck pointed at the marina. In the back of it is Nord. Carrying.
I thought Tony was helping me carry this box.
That's what I'm describing.
Yeah.
Tony is at the back of it. Leah, as you run up, you're next to Tony at the back of it.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, Leah will look in the box.
You look in the box? It's closed.
Oh. No, not that box. The box truck.
Oh.
Go ahead, go in there. I think he's going to need your help.
You see, as you get to it, there's this light emanating as Nord he's on the inside, the box is between you and him, and it's obscuring what he's doing, but there's light emanating from whatever he's doing. It looks like he's holding something down or struggling with something. The look on his face is what, Nord?
Terror. Sheer terror. He's probably screaming, like trying to scream, and he's probably just whispering, I see dead people.
As the box truck is going, Simon, something is happening in the back. Where are you, Leah?
Leah will start getting into the box truck, but as she's doing that, she'll yell out to Nord and say, the heart! The weakness is the heart!
You hear... gurgling. Leah, it's still your turn.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. So, Leah... Cutting. Okay, Leah will go ahead and, if I can, I'll get right up onto her.
There's not a lot of room.
Okay.
You've got this rather large box. It takes two people to carry it. Maybe one person could, but it'd be incredibly cumbersome. There's 2 or 3 feet on either side of this thing, so you can climb over the box, you can go around the side, whatever. Nord is obviously over there on top of the woman. And then your Browning is in the back somewhere, wherever you left it.
I think I got a little distracted by the corpses. But
yeah. Probably.
Yeah, so Leah will just try and get... basically right to where Nord is if I have that much movement, so to speak.
Yeah. As you... Do you go over the box? Do you go to the left? Do you go to the right?
I'll probably jump over the box. I mean, it's not like, you know, unscalable.
Yep, as you... Leah does this kind of parkour move, one hand on the box as she deftly pulls her body up and over, landing on the opposite side of the corpse facing you, so you guys are like almost forehead to forehead. Leah, as you do, the corpse with black eyes, almost like a roach that's been stabbed, is holding onto Nord's arm, and the dirk has these runes that are just erupting from her as one of her arms shoots up to grab you anywhere. As you pop up, roll a reaction roll to avoid getting tagged. This would be Grace or Brawn. It's up to you. And Hulker, will you roll me a D6?
Sure. Grace, D6, going right up. Sure.
If it's a 1, she goes for the groin.
It is not a 1.
Not a 1. It goes for the leg.
Okay. So I got 2 successes.
All right. With 2 successes, did you do Brawn or Grace?
Grace.
With Grace, you just move your hip to the side as her nails rip some of your clothing, but she her grasp has no purchase. It's still your turn. What do you do?
Leah will pull out her pistol and put it. So is she. Her orientation, is she...
She's on her back.
On her back.
Struggling. Okay. Nord's gotcha. Dirk is in her, and she's like, one of her arms is holding his arm. So at present, it's kind of hard to tell, like, is he trying to, like, pull out, keep it in? You don't know.
Leah will...
She's moving around. Out.
Okay, yeah. Leah will pull her pistol out and put it right against her chest where her heart is.
Okay. What do you bid to do it?
I bid... What do I have left? Let's see. I will bid... What? I don't even know. I really need to get better handwriting. I will bid... By nature, which is decisive.
Okay. Few things to be aware of as you throw down on this. Threshold will be 2. She is now actually struggling, so it's difficult to get the shot. This is a called shot, so you're attempting to hit her heart. Of course you're going to shoot. You're going to get her, but you might, if you fumble, you might get Nord. And if, since it's a called shot, it's going to have a chaos die. So it'll be a D6. All right. Go either fourth. Normally it would have a higher threshold, but since you're literally putting your gun on the place you're trying to shoot, it's not going to.
I am going to re-roll. With violence. I'm going to reroll the d10. Oh, that's rude. Alright. This, Okay, so now I have 2 successes.
Alright, 2 successes. Roll thy damage.
That is a 2d4. Okay.
And these are the normal bullets, yeah?
Yes. So. Okay, so that is a total of 4 damage.
Okay, since you're hitting limbo, it's half.
Okay.
As you shoot, Nord, this happens deftly, quickly, maybe even so fast Nord doesn't have time to react to the fact that a gun is being fired 3 inches from your body. It is very loud. Not the loudest thing you've ever heard, but you're inside a box truck as bam!
I will say, not much better, but also, since the muzzle is right up against the body, it would deafen the sound a little bit, but it would not be, the most pleasant thing Yeah.
But it's not the worst. As bam! The corpse stops moving, falls completely limp, head falling back, the tongue goes out of the mouth, and these dead black eyes are staring off to the side. As Leah, you pull back, and there's a smoking hole where the heart is. No one else is spending cunning, right? All right. Antagonists go. It is the player turn. What do you all do? There was a pop, which echoes, Simon. Likely people in the marina, if they were near the windows or something, I mean, they probably heard.
I will turn around and put my head in the window. They probably heard that. We need to go. We need to go now.
Read.
I get in the truck.
Okay, you get into the boxcar with the corpse that's just been reanimated and then shot and stabbed.
Yeah.
The box that you were trying to pull out of the boxcar is still half in, half out.
Yeah, I walk in, I see the corpse, I see what Leia did, and I see Nord, and I just say, yeah, it looks about right. We gotta go.
So what you're saying is you walk in and you see dead people?
No, I see dead people is what I said. She's icy. She's ice cold and dead.
Oh, I yes. Dead people. Icy death people.
Will didn't catch it earlier.
I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it. I see dead people.
Leia,
you need to get your narrative point for it.
Leia, what? I thought she was already dead. Did you just kill her again?
No, she came back. Leia's friend, Cloyce. Are we gonna do the plan? The plan is we're going to ram this into the building. Why don't we just stick together and ram it through the building together? I don't know.
Mariah is outside. Nord, since you and Leah are facing towards the exit of the boxcar, the back of it, and Tony is facing towards you all with his back to outside. Mariah, you see her in the snow and slush about 5 feet away, bundled up. None of you are really wearing, like, winter clothing. It's like March, almost April, I believe.
Cold.
It's rather cold. As she's sitting there kind of looking in with a concerned look. She doesn't really look that... She doesn't look terrified or anything. She's seen plenty of shit. So you guys, turn. Action's on you.
Well, let's hit it and get it. I think we're moving the box out, so let's not try.
Yeah, remember, North, we're taking this. We're trying to take the box into another entrance. We're using the truck as a distraction.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, not North. That was Tony. Yeah, let's do it. So yeah, we take the box and.
Let's Tony. Yeah. Let's lift up over there, and I got this. And Tony, let's double time it. We'll rush.
All right, fine.
And I would like to.
You know, you could probably declare this at customs and probably get away with it on certain days.
Yeah. And
assuming you found the way.
I'll jump out and I'll put my Dirty Dirk back up and we'll carry this thing onward.
You do.
Where's the building?
As you pull the Dirk out, slurping sound as the runes calm down and go dark. There's no blood or anything on it. Just some ash that crisps off. As you both pick up this box, yes? And start hefting it. One of you needs to bid to make this happen.
I'll bid no pain.
No pain. As with...
I'm sure I've... Yep.
With Tony's help, you guys heft this box. It's heavier than it looks. And you start slipping a little bit, but keeping your balance, heading toward the marina. As you cross in front of the boxcar, Simon, you see them in the headlights struggling with this box, heading down towards the waterfront and where the marina goes into the waterfront. The rest of you.
Leah is following them and just sort of keeping an eye out around, making sure it's all going smoothly and we're not being paid attention to.
Are you going to bid anything to do that, or are you just sort of walking around?
I will throw down my wits if I need to. Yeah.
So you're going to... Well, this wouldn't be a bid or throw down. It'd be a bid.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because it's a higher threshold than that.
Well, in that case, I will bid Spook to do that.
As you bid Spook, it's going to remain active. You're just going to be very, very aware, looking around. Immediately, Leah, you can tell things are very quiet, despite the storm that's imminent, and every so often the thunder. It's so quiet out here. There's the insulated feeling, you know, when you walk out and snow's everywhere, like the sound is just captured. You can hear the pitter-patter of... these heavy snowflakes hitting the slush. Everything's dark. You can hear the chug-a-chug-chug-chug-chug of a gas engine of the boat about a half mile away as it's parking. Probably, can you park a boat? Is that the right word? Parking boats? Yeah, as the boat's parking into the dock over there. The hidden dock. You can just hear voices muffled behind a building within walls and such. Simon, you see Mariah. I'm sorry, you see Leah following these two. Actions on you, Simon. What are you doing? Also, I was wrong. It's not March. It's September. It's my bad.
Did Mariah follow them?
Oh.
I outed myself. No, she's not behind
him. No, you didn't out yourself. I knew.
You knew.
Yeah, no, I was keeping
tabs. Yeah, well, you will not need to bid then because you caught me. Look over, looking around, noticing Mariah's not around. And in fact, in like the little rearview mirror, you see her like climb into the back of the boxcar.
Hey.
With the corpse.
Mariah, there was a corpse back there.
Mariah,
good.
Go keep up with Tony. Make sure he's doing okay.
There's silence.
I saw you climb up there, Mariah.
Dang it!
Don't worry. It'll be fine.
As she pops out onto the snow again and stiff leg walks through the snow, kicking it like a child would, even in her like false anger and with all that's going on, you see her sort of like pushing the snow up and making it splash into the air as she runs out in front of the car and sticks her tongue out at you. She runs up behind Leah, and Leah, you see her like, or you feel her kind of at your side.
Okay, so as soon as they get up to the building, Well, as they're going up to the building, I'm going to reach over and open up the glove compartment.
You see a head.
I'm going to grab the head. Do I notice who the head is? Does it matter?
I mean, does it? At present, you're unaware whose head it is.
Okay. As soon as they get up towards the building and they're up close enough that they're they won't be seen. I flip the lights on high. I start revving the engine. I will bid power through. And the plan is to drive this full force into the front of the building, jam the head on the gas, and try and bail out before it hits the building.
Oh, actually, you do know who the head is. You might know the head. You might know the head.
Now that I'm using it for a...
Did I tell you who it was?
No.
Okay.
Because we shut it real quick before we looked at it.
You can throw down its bid or throw down. The head is the face. It's definitely a man. He's got this wispy attempt at facial hair. The expression on his face, it doesn't look like he's necessarily been sucking dick, but you know, he got his head cut off, so
I'm gonna I'll bid hardened to know it.
You don't personally know this person.
Oh, okay.
But you've seen him, and because you're a private eye, you had heard about him. You'd done some digging. This guy's a real piece of work, you know. Womanizer is just a manipulator in all sorts of ways. just a real fucking piece of shit, this guy. He's done things like he's got like a wife somewhere, you know, and hasn't paid child support and all kinds of stuff. You know, really son of a bitch. And you probably took the case a few times and did some undercover work for some people, but you definitely know his fucking name. Would you like me to tell you who it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll type it to you. Hold on a second. Just a second. How do I make it happen?
Are you doing something wrong? Are you like outing some poor person? Is this like some enemy that you've experienced in real life
and no.
to take it out on them? And
no, not at all. Oh, it's Evil Chizo, right?
Yeah, no,
not
I
at all. Not I at all. Decided. You know that he really doesn't like his real name to be known.
I don't.
Oh, let me give you his middle name. Hold on a second.
I don't know who that is.
Good. And this is how I get in trouble.
It is. It's true.
Well, this guy can suck a dick. He got his head cut off in my game. Anyway, yeah, you see this fucking cocksucker and his head. So you can do whatever you want to it.
Yeah. So,
can you describe what his head looks like?
Yeah. He's got the wispy thing. He kind of looks like he's got a buzz cut. It looks like he's trying to like be a Viking, but he's not.
So, I start making as much noise as possible. And rev the engine. And like I said, I'm taking off down the, taking off down towards the building. I take the head, I put it, jam it down in there, and right we'll before there. It gets to the door.
Okay. Stop there. As you all are making your way, it takes you a few minutes to get down to where the waterfront is. What are you all looking for exactly?
A side door of some sort or something along those lines.
Seems like a marina would probably have a side door.
We're just not looking for a sealed door.
Leah, as you're pretty much the lookout person, and having bid spook, you won't need a bid. You're looking around, even in the darkness, because, you know, this is an abandoned marina, despite people literally being in it. You see, off to the front, the outline of a door in the darkness. As you guys round the corner of the marina, there's about 10 feet of grass before it drops off into the river. And there's a really short bank with a retaining wall. The wind hits all of you, revealing the true nature of the storm. 15 degree cuts right through your clothes, instantly shivering, and not wanting to be in this weather whatsoever. As there's nothing between you and the wind off the water. Nord and Simon, you're holding this thing. Your hands are probably like starting to really hurt from just the cold and being exposed. Mariah is snuggled up as close as she can get to Leah, who has a goofy look on her face as she's clearly thought of something to do that's going to have nothing to do with anything that I just described. As you hear the boxcar rev up hardcore and start making tons of noise and plowing through the snow toward the marina. Yes, Leah?
Nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. World action. Thunder rolls. Distant across the water. The kind of long thunder that just lasts for like 20, 30 seconds. Like the gods are playing, you know, drums upstairs. Let's do a fate roll really quick. Who wants to do fortune? Who wants to do false?
It will be false fortune.
Okay. Then. Here are the stakes. On fortune, the gate, which you'll see is about 40 feet from the door Leah's found, the gate will start to open, and essentially one of the boats will be coming out. So that's fortune. False fortune is not, that is not happening. Meaning all those people are still inside and have been alerted and are doing something else. All right. Roll your goodness.
An 84.
31. So you're nice. Good.
As you hear the unlocking of the gate and through the chilly water, the gates start to slowly open. It'll take a few minutes for it to actually fully open. All right. That's the world action. Anyone drop and cunning? Simon? Yeah. Drop and cunning? All right. Do it. What are you doing? The action's on you.
I'm trying to do what I... complete my task. So the head and jumping out of the car, jumping out of the box van right before it hits the building... like I would say good enough that either maybe I'll bounce off a car or hit some snow, not on the concrete in front of the building.
Can I spend a narrative point saying that there might be a little mound of safety that Simon sees?
Yes. As the boxcar being a front wheel drive, would a boxcar be front wheel drive?
There you.
Is it really? Is it
usually,
really?
It's probably rear.
Rear wheel. Yeah. Rear wheel. Okay, that actually makes it a little bit more difficult. As, well, no, yeah. Anyway, point is, as it sends
rear
off,
wheel is not good in snow.
No, as it sends off, sliding to the right, then to the left as you correct it. You got a big old fucking junk in the trunk. Woof, woof. You see, out one of your side mirrors. Something whoop, fall out. As you can guess, it's probably the cadaver.
Yeah. Bah, bah, bah.
Up ahead, looks like there's a little bank of snow. It would be nice to jump into. There are several cars in the way. What are you bidding to make sure this happens as you jam... his head into the accelerator pedal.
I will bid vigilante.
Bidding vigilante, you shove this head onto the accelerator pedal. This is not who likely some of you think this is. Let's put it this way. It is not one of my former friends. As you shove the head on the accelerator pedal, the RPMs go up higher and higher and higher and higher. As in, this person had nothing to do with Dreadlore. I need to make that known. If I'm not going to out the name, I don't want it to be thought of as a Dreadlore thing. It's not. Someone else. Simon, bidding vigilante, as you open the door, the box truck careening forward hits one of the cars. This is a box truck. It has way more mass than that, whatever it was. What's a fancy car?
Probably at this point, a Rolls.
Yeah, like a Rolls Royce. Just half of the front part just explodes out and like, fuck capitalism, that kind of thing. Yeah. As the boxcar sends forward, what do you do?
I'm going to tuck and roll out the side and try and hit that snowbank.
So you fly through the air, the cold air hitting you immediately. You bundle up in your leather private eye jacket. Out the corner of your eye, in that instant, you notice the body that had fallen out gets up. As, boom, you land in the snowbank. Roll, we'll have you throw down. Just a D6. We'll just do a chaos die for this. Because you bid, you had a plan, this all makes sense.
5.
Yep, so you get a success. As, describe to me how this goes. What happens?
So, as the truck is heading through and it's probably hit careening off other cars and then hits that Rolls Royce right in the front, and it spins the Rolls Royce around as it goes past it, and there's just a little pile of snow, probably 4 feet wide, and I'm just like, 1, 2, 3, and I jump out and spin as I jump out to try and land on my shoulder.
You do a gainer.
Yeah. So then that way it's, and the minute I hit that snow, like, I'm up into a crouch and I've got my gun out and I'm kind of at this point trying to use the chaos as a shield, as a distraction too.
As you're on your feet out to the left, you see the boxcar boom, 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 smash into the marina. As it breaks the glass, all hell and bedlam goes down. The front facade just falls down. As this boxcar, it was a V6, as it goes, fucking V8, as it goes into the lobby and keeps on going, you hear screams and shouting and gunfire. Crashing. To your right, you see a lone figure of a woman standing, sort of shambly, hair dropped down in her face in the dark, no coat or anything, maybe 100 feet from you, standing in the center of the cul-de-sac, like someone from like the Ring. The group has gone around the corner. Last moment, what do you do, Simon, since you've dropped a cunning?
I will go ahead and try to sneak around to where, try to catch up to them. Okay. And so I'm going to hurry, but stay low, kind of stay hidden, and try and get to them as quick as possible.
As you weave through cars, are you going to go towards the woman to get around the cars or toward the marina to go around the cars?
Towards the marina.
As you go towards the marina, you see for a moment, just bedlam and gunfire. Small arms fire. All right.
Are they firing at the truck, or are some of the shots coming out towards...
It seems like they're just firing at the truck. Okay. You haven't seen any bullet ricochets out here. Okay, anyone else on cunning? As you all hear, absolute chaos from within the marina. Antagonists go. More fire, yelling from within. Simon, as you're moving, slipping and sliding and such, you hear bong on the trunk of a car. As you happen to look and you see the woman has leapt like a supervillain and has landed on the trunk of one of the cars about four car lengths away from you. Hair all stringing out. You see this gnarly wound that's glowing in her chest. As she looks up, her black eyes like cats at night glow. And she's looking right at you. As you see her like real cannibal Shia LaBeouf with all fours leap forward an entire car length, jing, on the top of one towards you. That's the antagonist's turn. Players, action's on you.
We got to get this box in the building. I'm going to bid, and we need a boat.
That gate is slowly opening.
I would like to bid sneak, which is a trait that I have. All right, everybody quietly and like, you know, find a door. Leah, do you see a door?
Do I see a door?
And I think we sneakily enter yes. The door.
I will attempt to enter the door as well.
Leah, you're pointing out the door?
Yes.
As Leah points out the door, and you guys move to it, is it locked or not? Seems like it'd be locked.
Well, good thing Mariah's here.
You guys going to bid Mariah to unlock this door?
Yeah, she's got that
ability. It's not locked.
It's not locked?
It's not locked.
You gonna can
I use
an air to
point to say it's not?
Yes,
yeah,
you can.
Point it's not locked.
As Mariah, this 12-year-old runs out immediately with lockpicks in hand, runs up to it. Leah, what do you do?
I turn the handle.
As her mom just opens the door, and you see this devilish look. You know, the head is down. She's staring daggers at Leah. She puts the lockpicks away. You see this hallway. The ceiling is ripped out, hanging down. Looks like a horror movie. The doors are ajar here and there. There's detritus all over. Tony, Simon, you've been in here before. It's the same kind of scene. Difference is the hallway goes straight down and into the lobby. About 60, 70 feet from you, you see absolute carnage, wreck, sparks, the ass end of the box truck as it's crashed into one of the weight-bearing poles. Action's on you guys.
Well, you guys...
After everybody gets in...
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I know. That's my bad.
Oh, well, yeah.
But just in the description, you know what it is.
Yeah.
After everybody... gets through the door, Leah will close it and lock it.
What about Simon?
You do?
To make sure the dead lady doesn't get in with the high desk.
You didn't see the dead lady.
What about Simon?
I didn't? I would think I would hear somebody landing on a car.
I mean, through all the carnage and crashes and etc. Yeah. Did you see her? You did have spook out.
Yeah.
Alright, let's roll a chaos die. On a one, okay. You did not see her.
Okay. That's fair.
Which, of course, you can do proficiencies to reroll it, but...
I got 4 even, so...
All right. So, as Leah, you absolutely see her, and not only do you see her, you see that she's chasing Simon. So you're at the door on the inside, looking at the lock. Do you lock it or not? As Nord goes and says what he does. I feel like I'm playing for you guys. You guys fucking tell me what you do.
I said, what about Simon? But I feel like, Tony, you've been in this building before. Let's go find a boat. You okay, Leah?
Tony looks at you exactly like that.
Leah will sit by the door and say, you guys go find that boat. I will wait for Simon.
All right.
Fine. Look.
And I had bid sneak, so I feel like I'm going to say, Tony, just do what I do sneakily behind me or next to me. Kind of tell.
All right, fine. But hold on. Where's Mariah?
I'm right here. Why do you never see me?
Listen,
and she comes out of like one of the rooms and she's holding like a Care Bear with like the eyeball out. He's got like dust all over it.
Listen, Mariah. I know what you did last time we were here, and I almost shot you.
She looks over at Leah. Told you.
All right.
If there are two boats, should we take two boats, Leah?
It wouldn't hurt to take two boats, yeah. If there are two boats, if you can, you know, safely.
All right.
What were you saying, Tony?
All I'm saying is, we need to stick together. Don't run off behind boxes trying to scare people. Not this time.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go find the boat.
Sorry, darling. That actually sounds like a pretty fair criticism. So,
head down.
You guys can work it out. If we see the sun up tomorrow, you can work it out then. We'll do a powwow, like getting together.
What's
session.
A powwow?
It's a thing that.
Don't worry. Let's go here. I point. Yeah. Tony points to down the hall and say, "Hey, I was here before. We're gonna go down this hall. We're gonna take a left." At this door, and that'll take us to the marina.
Okay. And why don't we do it this way? We'll stick to the shadows.
Okay.
We'll try to give you some breadcrumbs to follow us, Leah. Keep an eye out.
I mean, I just heard the directions, so I'll be fine. And okay. Leah will actually crack the door open again. And keep an eye on Tony. Well,
the wind
is
pushing against against the door. It's easy for you to do, but it's just so you're aware.
Yeah. Leah will be keeping an eye on Tony and seeing if he's coming towards this door or if he's going somewhere else. If he's going somewhere else, she'll lock it.
Do you mean
but
Simon?
Right. You're right, Simon. Yeah. That's what I meant. No, I meant Tony. He actually teleported, back to them. So,
I've been
Nord,
a teleported person.
Nord, you start going forward, sneaking like Shaggy. Deftly, actually. Tony, you're following him. Mariah is behind you. Tony, what do you bid to follow in Nord's footsteps? For as you all might know, just because one of you can sneak does not mean the other one can't. Unless, Nord, you're doing something very specific.
I will bid.
To make it easier for
you. Well, I was going to say, the sneakiness is we're just going to keep, like, if there's any light, we're going to keep to the shadows. So it's not, like, super sneaky. It's just kind of, like, deliberate movement, slow movements.
In that case, Tony, if you just want to follow in Nord's footsteps and stay behind him, then you don't need to bid.
Okay.
As you're... Nord, you realize that you guys are completely exposed. If somebody looks down the hallway, they will see you. Although, maybe they won't recognize that there's people because you're in the shadows. But there's nothing to hide behind.
Sure.
But you're moving slowly down the way. You hear some shouting. non-distinct, the people that were in this room or were in the main lobby have moved, or it seems like they've moved. They're probably out outside, not to the left. That's where the front is, to the right, where the actual marina part is. Whether or not there's people in the lobby or not, you don't really hear. The shouting is muffled behind glass. You catch a few words. They're here. Where are they? That kind of stuff. People cursing. Just get on the boat. That kind of stuff. All right, as you guys are pulling forward, Leah is waiting. Simon.
I am going to bid gunplay and do a called shot to try and hit them in the head. And then after that, I'm going to rush towards the door.
Hit the woman?
Yep.
All right. As you bid gunplay, pulling up your pistol, is a called shot, so it gets a D6 chaos die. As she leaps forward through the air, using her entire body toward you.
And it's a...
The threshold is trace.
Great. I do my grace as my aspect, right? For shots.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to. Can I reroll my chaos die? Is that possible?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can reroll anything if you get the proficiency.
Okay. Okay, so I have 4 successes.
Oh, nice. All right, so you beat it by 1, so that's extra damage. Roll your damage and add that extra damage to it.
Seven.
As you hit her square in the head, right between the eyes. Her head flies back as her body slams into the car right in front of you. Through the back window, and you see her, like a crash victim, deposited in the back seat, all crumbled up with like a leg sticking out the window.
Okay. And I'm going to book it as quick as I can to the door.
As you turn and start running. As you do this, you get to the corner. You notice that the door is open and Leah is there. You just see a sliver of her. You're hit with a blast of cold ass wind, 15 degrees. Ugh. You also hear glass breaking from behind you. As you quick turn and see that she's crawling out of the car.
It is actually 8 damage and not 7. I don't know if that matters, but I forgot to add the plus 1.
It does matter. She's crawling out of the car. You see, not as quick. There's now this black ichor running down her face as her body falls to the floor behind the car. She can't see where she is.
I think she's getting back up. Let's go in.
All right. That is the player turn. Round 3. Let's take a 5-minute break. We'll use the bathroom, go get the bourbon, do what we need to do. And we'll be back in 5 minutes. That's cool.
What about a 10-minute break?
10-minute break. I'm doing a 10-minute break.
All right.
I'll see you guys then.
Yep.
Oh, really quick. Are we off?
No, actually, really quick.
Yeah, really quick.
I would like to say a couple of words. You've been watching, experiencing, and enjoying Dreadlords the Red Writ.
The Red Writ.
Every Monday at 7 p.m. EST, we get together, Bill, Andrea, Daniel, Drizzle, and myself, to do stuff like roleplay to the tunes of all our case letters and Mr. Interrupt. Thanks for supporting Dreadlords Theater of the Mind to our Patreon members, Tim Roberts, Daniel Hulker, and Nostalgic. Thank you for the art and media production, Couchfire Media, and Twarible Productions.
Whoever they are.
Flying by there. Whoever that is. You've been experiencing the Red Writ. We'll see you shortly. Red. Did you have any more comments before?
Nope.
Okay.